Brother Edward Lenz, would you ask the Lord's blessing on our speaker and our service?
Our dear, loving, gracious, eternal God and Father in heaven, we lift our respective minds and hearts before thee, loving Father, in praise and adoration. How lovely to sing together a hymn, loving Father, reflects our appreciation of thee, thy goodness, thy mercies, and our part therein, and may connect with thy divine plan and purpose. May our fellowship of this afternoon, loving Father, be of the nature and character, and assist each of us toward our homeward way, one more full day's journey towards thine. Bless Brother Terry Anders this day, loving Father, as he directs the thoughts into our respective minds and hearts. May they find lodgment for the purpose of helping us be more like thee, my beloved Master. Now, dear Father, we give thee thanks for all things through Christ.
The numbers were pretty small up through the noon hour, but now we're glad they've swollen from brethren from other areas. Nice to have all of you in our midst. Brother Jerry, speaker of the hour, will speak to us on this subject. Remember, Brother Jerry, Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Taz. Well, dear brethren, good to see you. Good to see you this year, 1985. First time this year, Brother Wally. And as we was talking to a sister a little earlier about remembering, I noticed She was talking to me, and she went over and she says, every time I smell a rose, she says, I'm thankful for my nose. Mm-hmm. Well, that has to do with our subject. You wouldn't have been able to say that, Sister Helen, if you didn't have that remember her. And isn't it good, nice, wonderful, all those adjectives, in the heart of winter to see a rose and to smell its fragrance. Well, we're in the heart of winter, and we have roses. We submit that we can carry with us through this year, 1985. And it's not something you don't know, but it's those things that you do know and which your heart's speaks to you, that we'd like to visit with you for a while this afternoon. Remember, and I couldn't help but be struck and moved by the words, some of these words in this beautiful song that we have, such as the songs on our lips and his work in our hands. How can you put it any better? Yes, we have to have both, don't we? We have to have the song on our lips, no matter what it be, and we have to have his works in our hands. And if this be the case, everything is, I assure you, will be fine in this year that stretches out before us. So then, brethren, words are powerful. Words stimulate our memory. Words can make us cry. Words can make us feel sad. Words can make us angry. But most of all, we are thankful for words, because words can bring the mind and heart of our Heavenly Father, the Magnificent One, Omnipotent One. It can bring Him down into our hearts and minds. And, too, we can visit with our dear Master, our elder brother, and we can think of all the things that He wishes to do for us. So, turning to a scripture text in Deuteronomy 32 and 9, which we will begin our reminiscing with this afternoon. And it reads, "For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance." And look at the margin there. The cord of His inheritance. "The Lord's portion is His people." Well, right away our memory begins to work on a phrase like that. And we begin to wonder how this great one, this magnificent one, could condescend to say that we are His portion. And we think of the heavens and all that are out there. We think of the angels and principalities and powers, but He tells us that you are His portion. And this is something very close and dear to Him, His people. He loves us very much. It has been suggested before by the very fact that He spends so much time with us. Oh, you think we're speaking in years? Brother Jerry's case, 30 years, 25 years? No, we're thinking of only in one day. Just think of how much time our Heavenly Father and His dear Son spend with us just in one single day, if we'll let Him. Yes, at any moment, at any second during the day, we are so close to Him, we are this portion to Him, that He'll hear us. It doesn't matter where we are, what are we doing, we can stop and say, "Lord," and He's right there and He hears us. You know that, don't you? But let it weigh a little more deeper on our minds and hearts for this year 1985. As Brother Dan was saying just before we come up here, the time is short. I think he was talking in terms of 10 years, but I think Brother Norman suggested a little earlier might be shorter than that. So let's think about these words, because they do convey to us the interest and love of our Heavenly Father. And we have time. We have time every day. And He is there right waiting for us to use that time as best we can. Oh, yes, we'll have to give attention to the job, to the home, to the family. But each moment that we do, we can say, "Lord, at least unto You. Unto You, dear Lord." And not only will it bring goodly things into our hearts, lives, and our doings, the work that is in our hands, but it will magnify the blessing, if it be to a co-worker or to a child, if we will remember, "Lord, unto Thee I do." And remember, too, we are spoken of as being the apple of His eye. Well, notice here in verse 10, it's found a number of places, three at least that we looked up. "He found Him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness." Well, we want to talk a little bit about that if we have time. "He led Him about, He instructed Him, He kept Him as the apple of His eye." Yes, that is the Lord's portion. And He wants to emphasize to us the dearness of this portion, you, His people, to Him. And He tells us, He says, if you can think about your own eye and what would happen if somebody touches that, well, when they touch you, They are touching the my eye. They are touching my eye when they touch you. Well, doesn't that speak volumes of interest? And the portion of the Lord's love and why he wants you to be his portion? Well, he wants a family. And most of you wanted a family that are assembled here today. And it brings joy, and you can just at times think about the joy that your family brings to you and relate that to the nearness and the desire of the Lord Jehovah and his desire to have a divine family to share himself with, to share himself on a divine plane. Oh, yes, and we can conjure up the many great things he shares with us now. Let the hope of sharing Jehovah be such as we can visualize on that divine plane. It will give us incentive. It will ignite our rememberer. And maybe therein we can find more energy, more zeal to do the purposes, the work that is in our hand that he has given to do, given us to do. In Zechariah 2:9, he tells us that if anyone or thing would do us harm, the Lord will shake his hand upon them. And who can separate us from the love of Christ? Yes, every time we come into an experience from another, a superior or a co-worker, remember the Lord is right there, and he will shake his hand upon them. He'll be that close to see that his portion is not harmed. Now, we're talking about the new creature. We're not talking about the flesh. There'll be some hurt, and there'll be, as far as the flesh and earthly things, there may be loss, maybe defrauded source of income, or maybe even a promotion that we thought should be ours. But others, through devious means, may have found that. The Lord is there, and he has shaken his hand, surely, and nothing will help that new, or nothing will harm that new creature. Remember, it is the Lord's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He tells us, "You shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels." Doesn't that tell you more about this portion that he wants of his people? The Lord has every intention of fulfilling his good promises. "You shall be mine," he says. Very positive. It is earnest and sure. He will do this. There is no doubt, no hesitation in the willingness of our Heavenly Father and our good Master in helping us to be this portion that the Lord desires. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. According to divine power, he has called us to glory and virtue. And can't we see the movement of Peter's heart when we read such things as he has penned for us in 2 Peter 1, verses 2 and 4? "His grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus. According to his divine power hath he given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these he might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And we know that some of you have gotten an extra hold of a particular promise this year of 1985. And we submit it will be a source of a strength. It'll be a friend. It'll be a comfort. But that is only if we remember. If we remember, I can do all things in Christ. Yes. There is so much power just in one promise. Oh, we could be so bold as to say that one promise can do the whole job. And it's probably true. But let us use all of them. But let us use that particular one, because in the divineness of grace and mercy, there's something, I am sure, which led your mind and fingers and tongue, word and act, to that one for two particular texts. Yes, we need to remember. If we don't remember, we are losing the source and strength and comfort of these living words, words of life. You know, we've already mentioned, but the Lord is always thinking of, he says, my presence shall go with thee. My presence will go with thee. And earlier this day, there was something said from this platform, which I think will help me. And that was that we can't even sympathize with sin. We can't condone it in any way. Now you think that, I think that as I listened to these words and as they pricked my rememberer, is that I may be able to go to a lot of places and it wouldn't hurt my new creature, but it may hurt somebody else's new creature. We need to think about those. We need to call those things into remembrance if we're going to find the total or the complete power and strength and the dedication and the love that the Lord would wish that would well up in us in the works that he has put into our hands. Yes, the Lord's presence will be with us and go with us no matter where we're at, but he wants, remember, when we go then, that the Lord's going to be there with us. He has promised. But do we really want to take the Lord there? And if the answer can be yes, well, it's all right then, I would say, to be there. But if you don't want to take the Lord there, well, surely we would not want to be there. Hebrews 13:5, Weymouth, I will never, he's not satisfied with that, I will never, never let go of your hand, no matter where you're at. I'm there. Do you want me there? I will never forsake you. Yes, he's looking out for our interests. No good thing will he withhold from us. Psalms 84:11. He will hear our voice while we call out to him. And just a few Wednesdays ago, maybe it was last Wednesday, Sister Judy called this text to mind in her testimony, and it helped us to remember. Isaiah 65:24, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are speaking, I will hear. Well, doesn't that bespeak a volume of interest that the Lord has? While we are formulating our words, he is there and ready to bring the needed comfort, guidance. And I know sometimes it seems like hours before we really get the proper perspective, or sometimes a week, or sometimes a month. And I can tell you some things this last year, it took me a whole year to get some perspectives on. But the Lord was willing to answer right then. But I wasn't ready, was I? And here it took me 365 days of 1984 to learn a lesson that possibly I could have learned in 3 seconds. just by listening for that voice and answer which he said he was already bringing to pass while I was yet speaking. Well, I can't stand up here and say, well, friends, it'll always be, everything will be answered in 3 seconds. We do carry the flesh. We have gotten hold of that old man, a portion of it, and we're just dragging it right in with us to 1985, and it'll be there. But part of the danger will be minimized if we recognize we have drug him with us. And we will drag him all the way through the year 1985 as we have done in 25 years, 10 years, whatever. But hopefully, he's weaker and won't be able to get up off his knees. Let's keep him on his knees at least, if nothing else, in prayer. Surely that will be a help. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee, is his promise. Remember that. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, wonderful fire, beautiful fire. And why? Well, for the faithful Christian, it shall not burn, neither shall the flame evil even kindle upon thee. Oh, we'll have some hurts. The old man will feel it, but that's what keeps him on his knees, isn't it? Some of those experiences. But as far as the fire being kindled on the new creature, no, it cannot even be. If we are faithfully that portion that the Lord desires, providing for us in all of our temporal and spiritual needs. Well, sometimes we wonder about the temporal. Seems like somebody's always there, particularly nowadays, to take a healthy portion of our temporal things. Even Uncle Sam is getting about 50% more than what he used to, say, 5-6 years ago. There'll be always those things. But we were thankful to read here in the reprint. I'm sorry I didn't write it down. But the pastor intimates that's all right. Let him have it. It's their due. It's of the earth and earthly. We have something that's much richer. So he went on to say that even if we've seen our neighbor having some need, and even if it meant that we would be deprived of something, which would be the better? I don't need to tell you, you know. But brethren, I submit where the difficulty comes is doing. And it will always be there till journey's end. But remember to watch. And the resources in that heavenly depository, that bank account up there, by every dollar lost here, what relative price do you think is being entered or posted in that balance book up there? 1,000,000 to 1? 10,000,000 to 1? 1,000,000,000 to 1? I don't know, but ask your heart and mind what you would give in proportion here in relationship to up there. Psalms 91, 1 and 4. Remember. We are so thankful for memory. And the wonderful thing about memory, remember, is that it will serve us too faithfully on the other side of the veil. Talking about these things that we are talking about today with our Heavenly Father and the Lord. Oh, they're listening to us now, I'm sure. They're listening to your heart now. They see the convolutions of your mind working and thinking about words, powerful words. And why are they powerful? Not because I'm saying it, And not even because it's recorded, but because they're doing something. They're working. They are mixing. They are changing. They are transforming. For those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. When you read something like that, you can just about, as you move your feet, feel the tabernacle floor under them. What a privilege we have. But we sang about it a little earlier, the home of the soul. It's the floor of the tabernacle. Now remember, it's on the earth there in the floor. So we got to not look down, but we can feel. We know that we are in the earth, but we must look to those beautiful things. The table of showbread, there to your right, that lampstand to your left. Wonderful, wonderful needs of the Christian, but ever before them, the golden altar to receive your sacrifice based in and upon the merit of Christ. Oh yes, that sweet incense is moving forward. Those offerings that you have offered, they have been a sweet savor unto the Lord, we are told. Let us remember that mostly in the year. Those things that we have done, which we know the Lord, maybe we question how, but we know that He has savored. Those are the things that we want to be sure we pack for the journey of 1985. Well, we want to remember our failings and fallings, but we want to just tuck them back just so we can have the strength to step up a little higher and seek not to do any of them again. Well, Psalms 91 we were going to mention here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, the shadow of God. Do you know that every day, we don't have to just be here at meetings together, but the shadow of God is over us every moment. Well, it should and it would have to be if He's going to hear us and answer that even before we get through talking. His shadow would be that close, surely. And in Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6, we are told that we are set as a seal upon His heart. Well, now we have remembered that if they touch us, they're touching his eye, the apple, not just the eye, but the apple of the eye. That's how He feels those things that we are going through. But now we're told in Songs of Solomon 8 and 6 that we're set as a seal upon His heart. What does that mean for you, to have your name written upon the heart of the Heavenly Father and our dear Lord? And we sometimes wonder if we as God's children really believe, if we really understand the important part that each one of us plays as the body members in Christ. We have heard your testimony. And we've heard you speak of your nothingness, and it has joyed our heart. We need that humility. It's a requisite, a prime requisite, if you please, to recognize that what really can we offer? But we must and we do offer. And beyond that, if we can remember that we are a necessary part in this arrangement that the Lord has arranged in our heart and mind to be His Son. For the very fact that He has touched us means that we are a necessary part. And we could go on further and say that those in Salem are necessary. There's something here for them specifically. Maybe they can't get any place else to remember this, but remember that you carry such a blessing the Lord in your own heart and life, that there is something necessary for me, for you, for each of us to share. So then we need to rejoice, as the Apostle Paul tells us, and fill that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. Well, there's something you can do for me. Brother Bob, you can help me carry those afflictions in Christ. That's something most necessary. And each one of us can help each other carry those afflictions of Christ. And if only we can do it joyfully. Our God-given place comes to us with living power. Micah 3:8. Truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you believe it? I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, if you have the Lord's Spirit, we know that the Lord's Spirit is powerful. So that measure of the Spirit that we have, we can then claim this promise of Micah 3:8, I am full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord. Well, there's dangers there too. We can restrict those powers too. So we need to remember how to carry the Lord's Spirit and how to resist that old man, because the stronger the old man becomes, the weaker the new creature becomes, and vice versa. It is ignited with brilliant colors of beneficent strength. Psalms 138:3. We're going to use Smith and Goodspeed. On the day when I called, thou didst answer me, thou didst increase thy power in me. Well, isn't that wonderful? If we recognize that power is our battery running down a little, this text tells us in remembering that we can go to the Lord and ask for a recharge. He will spark us up. He will give us the energy if we sincerely ask and sincerely want. It vibrates and burns with a consuming zeal. Can we feel less than Jeremiah? It is in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am worn out with holding it in. Oh, I wish I could have stood by Jeremiah when he was feeling this way. Oh, I sure wish I could. Well, I submit, dear brethren, each time we remember this text, we're standing by Jeremiah. And we can get the effervescency of that zeal and strength because of these words. Remember, the power, words have power. They can make us cry. They can make us happy. They can help us to be more faithful. And that's the more important thing. It can help us bring into remembrance that we are the Lord's portion. And then indeed, our hearts will burn with a fire, and our bones will not even be able to shut up that fire. This is a wonderful work and message, the like of which was never before granted to man or angel or principalities or powers. Remember, nothing that you do not know, but remember. Remember what privilege that you handle. I believe Sister Joy said a little earlier today, think of all the billions in the earth today and who has the privilege of handling the Word of God. More than that, to be able to say, Our Father. And it means something. Now, there's many that will say, Our Father, but it cannot and will not have the meaning as when your lips form those words in prayer and in hope. and in love and in desire. Oh, one day, after the divine plan has been consummated, all then will say, Our Father. But now it is our privilege. Unspeakable though that privilege be, it is ours. We are the Lord's portions. Let us remember. Let us ask ourselves today, in the plan of God, if you please, and if that plan of God is any less important than when Paul walked this earth, is it any less important today than in 1900 and 1874 at the Lord's second presence? Remember, if it's a plan of God, it's as important today as it has ever been, no matter where its history has led. The Word of God is the same. The principles of God is the same. The righteousness of God is the same. And the calling of God is the same. Oh, yes, maybe abilities at times have shone out much brighter. And maybe zeal in body and a group has been seen more pointedly. But the fire and the purpose and the benefits and the goals are still there for us, as it was for the Apostle Paul, as it was for the pastor in his day. Those purposes are still alive and burning. Those purposes shall be completed. It behooves us to be part of them. And the only way we're going to be part of them is to do it and remember it every day. Isn't he as concerned today about his brethren as then? Does he love us less? He loves his faithful children. Yes, he loves his faithful children, just as you love all your children. If you have more than one, each will have its quality, and each will have a pleasant place. Remember, we said that been sealed on his heart. Each one has a special place upon the heart of the Father, because you are his children. You are his family, if you please. The moment that the Lord touches one with his Spirit, by implication, he is telling us that he has need of us, and that he loves us, and that we will be his portion. 1 Corinthians 12:21, will the head say he has no need of the foot? Well, the Lord Jesus will never say that. We may say we have no need of the head, but we know what the results will be. We, as the toe, and sometimes as Sister Joy likes to think, the last part of that heel that goes beyond the veil. Yes, he's just as concerned about it as he would been about his arm, heart, knees, legs. Yes, he needs to heal. No deformity in the body of Christ. All must be complete. You are so important in your God-given place and time. And remember, that God-given place and time is now for us. In making our calling and election sure, as to complete the body of Christ, that the whole world is beholden to your faithfulness. They await it. And you can call up the scriptures in mind because of your remembering. And you know that that's true. And the pastor has suggested that we should every day be of the mind that the whole thing depends upon us to make our calling like and sure. That should be what burns within our heart and mind. And the Lord would be pleased with it. He would not think that prideful, but he would think that is a burning desire and zeal to want to make your calling like and sure, not only for yourself, but for the children of the world. It is this personal 1985 faith of each of us that prompts us to have this strong, vital relationship. And remember Deuteronomy 32:9, the margin, it says, this cord, we're tied to it, this cord of our inheritance. Let's read that again. Deuteronomy 32:9. For the Lord's portion of his people, the cord of his inheritance. He's got us tied to this. Are we tied to it? Now, as the jewels of the breastplate, each of us can reflect some of the beauty of Christ. That is our privilege. Each one of you are called a jewel, and each one of them has the privilege to reflect Christ. And each can be seen a peculiar beauty, just as that particular stone, and its character and makeup had a beauty. It was independent. Well, no, I would say not independent. I would like to have a different word than that, because we are dependent on each other. We just talked about that a little earlier. But it has a independency of itself, which reflects Christ, that maybe nobody else could reflect in just that same way. Just like our fingerprints are different. That reflection of Christ. You can do it no better than, I mean, you can do it far better than anyone else. Ever be so little, and it isn't ours. Remember, we're talking about reflections. We can reflect it in a facet and a light that possibly nobody else can. And as we continue to be more faithful, that ability, if you please, will expand until in the kingdom, in Beulah country, it will be seen in its true light and beauty. We may not be seeing it ourselves right now, but it is being developed. And it is necessary, just as the independent parts of the body are necessary and have an individual function and work and a need within the body. Each of us has a place in Christ, a place which belongs to him or her alone. Let us remember that in this year. For the cord of our inheritance, and that is surely part of the cord of our inheritance. Now the word cord here has a thought of to wind as a rope. And you've seen ropes twisted together. Add strength, for one thing. Maybe beauty, too. I don't know. But surely that strength, togetherness. To bind, it also carries the thought to bind, this word cord. And in Exodus 28:14, the chain gold which held and secured the breastplate to the high priest is spoken of as being wreathened, twisted as a rope. So we are bound as a wreathen gold chain, a rope or a cord, unto our Lord, heart placed over his heart. Jesenius translates the phrase in this verse as, and the two chains of pure gold, wreathen, thou shalt make them twisted work. This might suggest the combination of skill and strength which ties us to our inheritance. Every movement of our high priest will affect the breastplate. Every beat of the heart will convey the means and ways of his skill and strength by this twisted cord that we are bound by, the cord of our inheritance. In Psalms 8:6, which we've already alluded to, the faithful bride is alluded here too, in respect maybe to this position. Set me as a signet upon thine heart and a seal upon thy arm. Let our names be graven deep in the heart of Jesus. To keep our mind in mind the strength of his mighty arm, the sincerity and desire of his love for us. John 15:16. Jesus is speaking to you now. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Oh, when we got to that point, when we recognized our dear Savior, we chose him, surely. But even before that, he tells us, brother and sisters, He says, even before really you knew me, I chose you. I seen something there that was most dear and could be developed and cultivated. He says, I have chosen you. Could we say then, could we say that we're handpicked? And for lack of other illustrations, I think of my wife when she goes to the store. How desirous she is to please me. She may be buying an apple, and she will go through those apples. She will go through those apples until she gets the biggest and luscious one. She'll feel it. She'll look at it. Well, I submit, dear brother, we are handpicked. And it isn't by chance. If we're as concerned about serving each other, think about what the Lord did. The overview that he had of us and wants in us when he picked us as the apple of his eye. Oh, yes. We are the absorbing center of his affections. Let us call into remembrance whether he is ours. Not just today, but every day. Well, maybe I see our time's gone. Maybe I can ask you a very personal question, if you'll permit me. When you go to bed at night, do you stop and do you get on your knees? And is your relationship and your prayer at that time such that bespeaks your love for him? I don't want you to answer no, because this is between you and the Lord. Now, if you were to ask me, if Sister Judy, I would, oh, yes. Oh, yes. Brother Bob, Sister Nancy, oh, yes. I can see that. But let us be, let's level with the Lord. We know that he loves us very much. He wants very dearly for us to recognize that. Are we taking the time when we have those opportunities to speak to him? Now, I said just at night before we go to bed. That should be the least. What about the morning? Do we get up an extra 5 minutes, or sometimes maybe even 15 seconds? These are the little things. The little things are the things he's going to be looking for. It isn't serving from this platform, really. But it's those everyday moments and hours, those seconds of our life that he really cherishes. When we are so busy, but yet we can redeem 30 seconds. And that 30 seconds might be so precious to the Lord that it's beyond measure for us to really recognize its depth of need, I submit, even in the heart and mind of our dear Savior. He needs to talk to you. He needs to talk to me. And we need to talk to him. Now, I've just asked one personal question about prayer. I want to ask some other personal questions of myself, because I love the Lord, and I will pray that each one of you will do that. And if you will, I know that this will be a better year, 1985, than any other year for the Lord, let alone for you. So may the Lord bless you as you seek to cherish the moments of your time and place, which is now with the Lord.
Remembering. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Jerry has selected number 216 in closing. Should we send our love and regards back to the brethren at the classes that aren't here, the classes represented? Thank you. Lord, in love, home with you.
All our friends wish to send their love here also, especially Bill and Donna and Marilyn and Bill Fenton.
Thank you.
Class did the same.
Thank you.
I also want to remind the dear friends that came in this afternoon and sister her love and really small.
Thank you.
It rejoices even to know that some of us were able to be there.
The Great Deliverance, number 216. Rachel? Beautiful words to end a beautiful day. Brother Jerry, would you have a large blessing on your service and each of us?
Our most gracious Father in heaven, in the precious name of our Savior, we do come to thee, dear Father, and as we renew within ourselves and one another the goodly promises, thy love and concern for us, the gift that thy Son wants to be able to instill all the guilt upon our hearts and minds, to bear with adoration. Help hold us close to thee. We are thankful, Father, for those promises. We are thankful for that we build in a ability to repentance that has often been. But more than this, dear Father, we pray with an old spirit that thou would give us strength to remember day after day of love and goodness, that we might find good with strength and grace to please thee and more in the greater ahead of us. Little day of those. Sinners, if we pray for our children to us and on, we pray for us and in creation. Please fulfill us therein through those bounties of our love and then which we spoke to children again. And they too will be blessed. If not, we forgive us and bless us with little dogs, goodness. Be with us while we part. Be with us while we live the words in our hearts for the remembrance. Because of this.
Everybody's